Hello, I'm Moira Alderson with the BBC News. President Biden has welcomed a US and French-brokered ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah, which is due to come into effect within hours. Speaking at the White House, he said the deal showed that peace was possible. From Washington, here's Gary O'Donoghue.
The Biden administration has been putting all its diplomatic muscle into getting this deal over the line in recent weeks, so this marks something of a victory in the twilight days of this presidency. Standing in the Rose Garden, the president said he was determined this ceasefire would not be part of another cycle of violence, and to that end, the US, France and others would ensure the agreement was fully implemented. His tone was an optimistic one, believing this could signal wider progress in the region.
The Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, said the deal would enable his government to focus on what he called the threat from Iran. His Lebanese counterpart, Najib Mikati, described the ceasefire as a fundamental step towards restoring stability. Hugo Bushega is in Beirut.
The 60-day ceasefire sees Israel pulling its troops out of the south of Lebanon and Hezbollah removing its fighters and weapons as well. 5,000 soldiers from the Lebanese army will be gradually deployed, and an international committee led by the US will monitor the deal's implementation. Speaking on television, Benjamin Netanyahu insisted that Israel would keep full freedom of military action guaranteed by the US. Here, the hope is that this will put an end to a conflict that has been devastating for Lebanon. More than 3,500 people have been killed, 1 million displaced, and significant parts of the country now lying in ruins.
In other news, a Brazilian police report says the former president, Jair Bolsonaro, actively participated in a coup plot in order to stay in power following his election defeat in 2022. The document also alleges that Mr. Bolsonaro was fully aware of a plan by elite soldiers to assassinate the then newly elected president, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, his vice president and a Supreme Court judge. The United Arab Emirates has thanked Turkey for its help in arresting three suspects wanted for the killing of a rabbi based in Dubai. Andrew Ocheng has this report.
In all their statements since Zvi Kogan was reported missing, Emirati authorities appeared hesitant to refer to his dual Israeli-Moldovan citizenship, focusing on his Moldovan roots. Turkey's president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, has previously said his country has severed all relations with Israel because of the war in Gaza. On Monday, when Mr. Kogan's body was being repatriated to Israel, where he was buried, Mr. Erdogan referred to the Israeli government as serial murderers, saying they were killing Palestinian civilians. We now know that at the same time, his security officials were arresting the man suspected of killing an Israeli citizen who was also a former Israeli soldier.
BBC News. The premier of Canada's most populous province has told the BBC that tariffs threatened by the US president-elect Donald Trump would hurt both countries. The Ontario premier, Doug Ford, warned that if the incoming US administration went ahead with a 25% tariff on products, Canada would retaliate.
17 states in the U.S. were their number one destination. Number one export area is Ontario and number two to 11 others. I never hate retaliating, but if he does put these tariffs on, we will retaliate. We will put tariffs on every box of cereal, every cracker, anything that gets shipped across. And I promise you, it will hurt the U.S., and I don't want that.
He said U.S. concerns about illegal immigration and drugs were no justification for threatening a close ally. The Pakistani government has ruled out talks with protesters demanding the release of the jailed former Prime Minister Imran Khan. Thousands of his supporters have reached the outskirts of the capital Islamabad and some managed to briefly enter a central square, which is close to many government institutions. In a message on X from jail, Mr. Khan told his supporters to fight till the end. He called for more people to join the protests. At least one person's been killed in Bangladesh in clashes between the security forces and minority Hindus protesting against the arrest of a religious leader, Chinmoy Krishna Dash. He was detained at Dhaka Airport on Monday on charges including sedition. Police said his supporters tried to stop a van transporting him back to prison from court and later threw stones at the security forces in Chittagong. Greenland's government has said it will pay compensation to 15 Indigenous women who were victims of a forced contraception campaign. The finance minister has apologised to the women. They'll receive $42,000 each. The campaign began when Greenland's health system was still under direct Danish control. BBC News.